would be examples to those who are coming behind us. Today is much like a continuation of the Sunday school lesson. Brother Don was talking about the tests and the temptations and the trials that we go through, especially in the area of temptation, the lust of the flesh, the things that try us and tempt us to turn away from the Lord, to obey the old man that's in us rather than the new man who is created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're talking about lessons in the new life. The Bible says that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. But Satan is constantly enticing us, and as Brother Ken pointed out in Sunday school, we are being enticed of our own lusts to go the opposite direction of what the Holy Spirit would have us to go. And we certainly need to remember that faithfulness is a requirement of God's children so that others might see Christ in us, that He has made a difference in us. We read these words in Paul's letter to the Ephesians this morning that are used as a common expression of the Christian life. Paul uses them several times in his epistles, this idea of putting something off and putting something on, putting off the old man, putting on the new, putting off the old garments of unrighteousness, putting on the new garments of righteousness. And so we are to put off the former conversation, that lifestyle of worldliness, that lifestyle of being anything but a Christian, and we are to put on the new man which is created in God in righteousness and in true holiness. Lessons in the new life. Someone says the Bible was written to be obeyed. Would you all agree with that? The Bible was given to us as God's instruction manual. We are to obey the Word of God, not just simply study it, not just simply read it, not just simply meditate on it, but we are to do what it says. We are to be not just hearers of the Word only, but we are to be doers. We're to obey the Word of God. And that's why the words therefore and wherefore occur in this last two chapters, in these last two chapters of the book of Ephesians. Let's look at those. The reason that is true is because they introduce the practical section of the book of Ephesians. Like so many of, most of Paul's letters, most of his epistles are divided into two sections. We first have a doctrinal section, which is telling us the things that we know to be true about God and about the Christian life and so forth. And then the practical section, which teaches us, since we know these things are true, this is what we should do. This is how we should then live. This is how we should conduct ourselves. And so we see those words, therefore and wherefore. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. We started the practical section actually in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, because he has been changed, he has been quickened, he has been made a new creature in Christ, he is no longer dead in trespasses and sins, he has become a part of the family of God, he is created in Christ Jesus unto good works, he has been made rich by the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says, I beseech you, you fellow believers, you fellow Christians, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you've been called. Then we come down to the beginning of this next section, verse 17, where we start today. And what do we see? Again, he says, this I say, therefore, since we are building on the family of God, we are being edified in love, built up as the body of Christ. Therefore, I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, And when he says other Gentiles, we're going to look at that in just a moment. That's clearly those Gentiles who are not believers. They're still dead in trespasses and sins. They're still walking according to the lust of the flesh. He says, I therefore ask you to walk not as they walk, but in newness of life. And then if we go down to chapter 4, verse 25, starting of a new section, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If you go over to chapter 5, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And then go down to chapter 5, verse 7, be therefore partakers with them. Be not partakers with them. And then verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then finally in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, Paul is saying in chapters 1 through 3, here's what Christ has done for you. And the theme of the book of Ephesians is the riches of Christ Jesus that have been given to the church, that have been given to you and I, the blessings. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because of those spiritual blessings, which include new life, which include being quickened, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, you know, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, God has quickened us. By grace are ye saved. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works and so forth. So, because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, this, chapters 4, 5, and 6, this is what we should do for Christ. This is how we should live. This is the new life that we should put on, just like you put on a new garment. Put off the old man, put on the new. And that's what Paul is telling us to do in chapters 4 through 6. So we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. The fact that we have been raised from the dead, spiritually speaking, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, should motivate us to walk in purity. It's an amazing thing that's happened to us, being raised from the dead spiritually and being made alive in the Spirit of God, being given new life in Christ, being made new creatures in Christ, being given life which is eternal, will never perish. And so that's an amazing thing. We ought to walk differently. We ought to behave differently. We ought to act differently. And that's what chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verse 17, that's what it's all about. Or as Paul told the Romans, very simply, walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 4. We are alive in Christ. We are not dead in sins. So we shouldn't act like we are dead in sins. We should act like we are alive in Jesus Christ. Therefore, put off the old man and put on the new man, verses 22 through 24. Or as one writer put it, take off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. Avoid the sinful walk. That's what we're going to look at in verses 17 and 18. Avoid the sinful lust of the old life, verse 19. And avoid the sinful past, verses 20 through 24. So how do we avoid the sinful walk? What's involved in avoiding the sinful walk? The way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we act, that's our walk. Our step-by-step experience as a Christian. Walking with Jesus Christ, walking in the light, walking in newness of life. How do we walk? We avoid a sinful walk. We walk a pure walk. We walk a life that is pleasing to God. We walk a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We walk a life that would be a testimony of God's grace at work in us. Walking in the Christian life is what it's all about. So how do we avoid the sinful walk? What is Paul saying in verses 17 and 18? Look again at those verses with me. I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Paul's saying, it's not just me. The Lord is saying this to us as well. This is something that God has given me to share with you. I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not, negative there, do not walk as other Gentiles. What's he saying when he talks about other Gentiles and their walk, their behavior, their lifestyle? They're walking in the vanity of their mind. Notice the emphasis on the mind here. Several references to that. The vanity of their mind. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Having the understanding, again, it has to do with the mind. Their understanding is darkened. They have a dark understanding. They're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance, again, having to do with the mind, thought life, the pattern of behavior that is controlled by our mind. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So we know we're talking about non-Christian Gentiles. We're talking about those other Gentiles, the ones that are not saved, because Paul was an ambassador to the Gentiles. Paul was ministering to primarily to Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But there are other Gentiles who are not saved. They're not walking after the Spirit. They're not walking in newness of life. They're walking according to the lust of their flesh. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. So do not imitate these people. Be different. You're changed. You're saved. You're quickened. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Let's obey Him. Let's yield ourselves to Him. Do not imitate the life of the unsaved people who are around you. That's good advice back in the first century when Paul was writing to the Ephesian church. But guess what? That's great advice for today. That is just as applicable today as when it was written then. Stop imitating the world. We're different. You have Christ in you. He wants to be seen through you. We're the light of the world. Let your light shine so that others might see your good works and glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven. Don't imitate the life of the unsaved people around you. There are some negatives in the Christian life, and this is one of them. Stop walking like the other Gentiles walk. Why? Because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're not like you. You have been quickened. You have been made alive. You've been transformed, but you're saved. You've been raised from the dead. You've been given eternal life in Jesus Christ. Christians are to think differently. Again, the emphasis on the mind. We're to think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be focused on things that are good and pure and holy and of good report and virtuous and worthy of praise. We're to think differently. The unsaved walk again in the vanity of their mind. That word vanity, it means the emptiness. An unsaved mind, an unsaved person's mind is empty of spiritual things. It's empty. There's no spiritual spark there. There's no light there. It's darkness. It's a mind that is full of futility, things that go nowhere, life that goes nowhere spiritually. It's a life, vanity means a life of moral depravity. We were talking about in Sunday school. Moral depravity. An unsaved person has no ability to glorify God with his life because he is a depraved person. His mind is morally depraved. It has not been renewed. It has not been quickened. Look again at verse 23. Paul says, and be renewed. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. We talked about that word renewed back in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about that again in just a moment and review what it means to be renewed in our mind. If our way of thinking, let me start over, I want to emphasize that. If our way of thinking has not changed since we've said we've gotten saved, there's a problem. If you tell people, I'm saved, I've been born again, I'm a Christian, and your way of thinking hasn't changed, there's something wrong. You need to investigate. You need to question. Am I really saved? Have I really been born again? Paul continues his thought in verse 18. Not only should we not walk as these Gentiles whose mind is empty and morally depraved and full of futile things, but we also should not walk as people who have their understanding darkened. Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness rather than light. A lot of people have not changed, and they are unwilling to change because they don't want the light to expose their sin. They don't want the light of God exposing their moral depravity. They like the lifestyle that they're living. They enjoy the sinfulness. Sinfulness looks good to the depraved mind for a while. But that's the deception of Satan. It leads to death. It leads to separation from God. It leads to outer darkness, an eternal state of being lost. So we need to make sure that we're not following after the sinful walk, that we're not walking as those other Gentiles who have the understanding darkened and their deeds are evil. Jesus says they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. There's another place where Paul uses that illustration of taking something off, putting something on. Let us, and that is a very clear application. This is a command. Put off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Compare that with chapter 5, verse 8, here in Ephesians, right across the page. For you were sometimes darkness. That word sometimes, we've talked about that before. That means at one time in the past. Not now, but in the past. He's talking to believers who have been quickened, born again. We have, you know, become children of light. You were sometimes, at one time, you were in darkness. You were darkness. You were characterized by spiritual darkness. But now that you've been saved, now that you've been quickened, now that you have Christ in you, you are light. What is the command? Walk. Walk. Live. Conduct yourselves as children of light. As people who have been changed. People who have been redeemed. People who have been transformed by the power of Christ in you. And so it's very important that we listen to this command. Do not be spiritually ignorant, chapter 4, verse 18b, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They don't know any better. Alienated means estranged, separated from the life of God through ignorance. Jesus himself quoted Isaiah when he was condemning rebellious Israel. God said through Isaiah, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart Their heart is far from me. And what's in the heart, that's what's important. What's in the heart comes forth out of the mouth. What's in the heart is exposed through what our life does, what we do in our walk. Their heart is far from me, he says. And that's the kind of activity that's characterized by our life before we were saved. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Go back a page. That at that time, we read this description, we studied this description. This is a sad description of anybody. But it's not supposed to be the description of the life of the Christian. He says, at that time ye were without Christ. You, in the past, sometimes in the past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Even though we are now, we are seed of Abraham. And spiritually speaking, we become the seed of Abraham. So we're under the Abrahamic promises to be blessed forever. Having no hope. No hope, no assurance that when I pass from this life and go through the grave that I'm going to have life eternal. Like Brother Gene, we said yesterday, he is more alive today than he's ever been in his life. And he is alive forevermore for all of eternity. People who are unsaved, they don't have that hope. They do not have that guarantee that they're going to live forever. They're going to live forever, but it's not with God in heaven. It's separated from God. So at that time, ye were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You're strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and most sadly, without God in this world. Without God. Can you imagine being without God? We sometimes take for granted the blessings that we have as Christians, the position that we have in Jesus Christ, the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. But to be without God, did you ever stop and think what it would be like to be without God? Whew. That's the way this world is. Those that we need to witness to, those that we need to tell about Jesus Christ, those that we need to let our light shine before, those that we need to walk, not as those other Gentiles walk, but we need to walk as Christ, because there are people in this world that are without God. And they're perishing. They're going to hell unless we reach them for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But now, I'm still back in chapter 2, verse 12. But now, in Christ Jesus, that phrase there, we've talked about how important that is. If you are saved, you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You are in the family of God. You are no longer on the outside. You are on the inside. Like that little song that we sang as kids in Sunday school, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? We are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You who were sometimes, there it is again, I love that word, at one time in the past, before salvation, you were far off. But you now have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. You've come into His presence. You've come close to Him. You are in a right relationship with Him now. So, don't be spiritually ignorant. Don't walk as those other Gentiles who are unsaved. There's a spiritual song that goes, born again. There's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm so glad. Yes, so glad that I've been born again. Salvation begins with repentance. Instead of being spiritually ignorant and alienated, separated from God because of that ignorance, I've repented of my past, my sins, my spiritual condition of being spiritually dead. Repented, that means to have a change of mind. I changed my mind about who Jesus Christ is, the fact that he is the Son of God. He came to this world. He died on the cross for my sins. And I changed my mind before. I says, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't need him. Leave me alone, God. But now I've changed my mind and I said, I need him. I want him. I want him to be in my life. I want to be in him. I want to be saved. Repentance, turning toward him. Not walking away from him, but turning toward him. Accepting him, receiving him. The whole outlook of a person changes when he trusts Jesus Christ. His values change, his goals change, his interests, the things that interest him, changes. The sad story of those who are blind in their heart is told by Paul in Romans chapter 1, isn't it? All the way from verses 21 to the end, there, verse 32. I'm not going to read all of that, but you've heard it before. Let me just share a couple of those verses. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. There it is again, empty, morally corrupt, depraved, spiritually dead. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart. In ignorance, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. There are a lot of people in this world today who are professing to be Christians, but sadly, they fit into the category of those who walk as the other Gentiles walk. Where are you today? Has there really been a change in you? Have you truly repented of your sins? Or are you still walking as the other Gentiles walk? Avoid the sinful walk of the Gentiles. The Bible says Satan has blinded the minds of the unsaved. 2 Corinthians 4:3 through 6, because the unsaved, Satan doesn't want them to see the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Avoid the sinful walk. It's not simply that the eyes are blinded so that they cannot see, but their minds are blinded because of the blindness of their heart, verse 18, so that they cannot think straight about spiritual matters. Their minds are darkened. Verse 19, we're told to avoid the sinful lusts. That's where we were in Sunday school this morning. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Several things there. First of all, this idea of being past feeling has the idea of being insensitive to spiritual things. Dead, hardened, blind to spiritual things. So the application here would be to examine your heart. Examine your heart to its sensibility to spiritual things. Are you past feeling? Another sad commentary on that verse would be Acts chapter 28, verse 27, where Paul, like Jesus, is quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Examine your own heart. Are you sensible? Do you have a sensibility to spiritual things, or does sin have no effect on you? We're going to talk about, in just a second here, we're going to talk about What contrasts the saved man with the unsaved man? Three simple things to help us examine our heart. Writing to Timothy, Paul says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We often talk about that, don't we? An unsaved person, or even a Christian who is walking in carnality, who is not allowing the Holy Spirit to control his life. He's not yielded to the Holy Spirit. He's going his own way. He's listening to the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. He's living in rebellious. He's miserable because he's doing so. But we can do so long and keep living that way and keep listening to the flesh and keep going the wrong direction and not letting Christ shine through us. And what happens? Our conscience becomes seared. We become hardened. We become dull of hearing. And we become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. Paul says that these people have their conscience seared with a hot iron. And in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. He's talking about believers. Here it is. The biblical illustrator gives three points on the importance of Christian feeling. Do I go by my feelings? Not so much, but the feelings are important because one of the great points of contrast between the people of God and the people who are wicked is that the godly man feels sorrow for his sin. Think about it. Examine your hearts when you sin. Is there a sorrow that you have offended the holiness of God? That you have hurt Jesus Christ? Some time ago, I heard the statement, I've shared this with you a number of times. Someone said, when the Christian sins, it's like walking up to the cross and slapping Jesus in the face. That's a picture to get in your mind. Do you feel sorry when you have erred against the righteousness of God? When you have done your own thing? Another difference between the people of God and the wicked is that the godly man feels the emotion of love. Do you genuinely love other people? Remember, genuine love, agape love, is when you really care about people. You're concerned for them. You want to give to them and you want to help them without expecting anything in return. So many people in the world today have the idea that I love you because it makes me feel good. That's not agape love. We don't love other people because it makes us feel good. Not if it's agape love. The genuine man of God loves people even when they don't love in return. And then thirdly, the godly man is filled with joy. Joy. Joy that overcomes the trials, the troubles, the difficulties of life. Joy in the midst of circumstances. We should pray. You know, examine your heart's sensibility to spiritual things. It should be our prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Examine your life for signs of insensibility. Verse 19b. They are not only past feeling, but they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. That's used 6 times in the New Testament. And it means filthiness of the flesh. Filthiness of the flesh. That's a wide open definition, isn't it? That's one of those definitions that when you read it, you want to dig deeper. Okay, now exactly what are we talking about here? The filthiness of the flesh. So you go to, I went to several different Bible dictionaries, and one of them said, lasciviousness is conduct and character that is unbecoming, indecent, and unrestrainedly shameless. Lasciviousness, another dictionary says, is a person's behavior that is driven by thoughts of sex. driven by thoughts of sex. Another Bible dictionary says lascivious behavior may include the way we dress when our goal is to appear sexy or sensual. Lasciviousness encompasses viewing sexually explicit media, including salacious magazines, movies, and television, as well as outright pornography. Focus on the Family came out with some statistics a number of years ago that said, and I'm not sure how they did this or what poll they used or whatever, but they said that as much as 88% of all Christian men struggle with pornography. Christian men! Have you examined your life for signs of insensibility to the Spirit of God? Don't be like those other Gentiles who have given themselves over. Just like Romans chapter 1, they gave themselves over to a reprobate mind. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness. We're in Ephesians 4:19. Flip back a couple of pages to Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. We're in a spiritual warfare, folks. Satan wants to capture your mind. And we need to conquer our mind for Christ Jesus. The hardness of the unsaved man's heart enslaves. It enslaves him. He's past feeling because he's given himself over to sin that enslaves him. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness. The word uncleanness means impurity, whether it's physical impurity or moral impurity. Go over to chapter 5, verse 3 again. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, what does Paul say? Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Satan will tell you, you can play around with this. You can dabble in this. It's not going to hurt you. A little bit will be all right. That is a lie in order to ensnare you, to enslave you, to addict you. Avoid the sinful lusts. Avoid the sinful lusts. Remember, God's standard is very high. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Paul is clear in telling us what we need to do. As you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Romans 6:19b. Or in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, mortify, put to death, subdue, deaden, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, being separated unto God, being separated from the world. That's the will of God, your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Dear friends, examine your life for signs of insensibility And then finally, greediness. These other Gentiles who are unsaved are past feeling, giving themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Uncleanness with greediness, those two things go together. Greediness, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is the condition of wanting a lot more. Wanting a lot more. A person who is addicted to uncleanness is greedy because he can never get enough. And that's the way the mind of a man that is not governed by the Holy Spirit works. It gets to the point where it wants more and more and more. It's never satisfied, whether it's food or money or success or possessions or sex or whatever it is. It's never satisfied. It wants more and more. Greediness. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any unwicked way in me. Avoid the sinful walk. Avoid the sinful lusts. And avoid the sinful past. Verses 20 through 24. In verses 20 and 21, we have lessons in truth. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Lessons in truth. Christ has not taught us to live for self. He has not taught us to live for the flesh. He has taught us to live righteously, holy. Paul says this in Titus 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." In verse 22, we have lessons on the old life that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, manner of living, the way you were acting before you were saved. Put it off, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Again, we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Peter talks about what our life would be without Christ. He says we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, that's riotous, loose living, non-disciplined lifestyle, banquetings, excessive drinking and carousing, and abominable idolatries. Paul tells us to be honest about the change that has taken place in our life. In Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, don't say that you have put off the old man with his deeds if you really haven't. Be sure your sin will find you out. Lessons concerning the new life, and I'm going very rapidly here, as you can tell. Verses 23 through 24, and be renewed, transformed, remodeled. When you remodel or renovate a building, you go in and you tear out all the old, bad, unusable stuff. You get rid of all the waste, and you put new things in. You put the right kind of things in. That's the way we should be doing it with our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Lessons in the new life. Don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Job. Well, you read the book of Job, there's so many gemstones in there. Job says, I have put on righteousness. In chapter 29, verse 14. I have put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem, a robe and a crown. Job put off the old and he put on the new. And that's exactly what Paul tells us we should do. I like the way Paul states the principle in Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of the important lessons concerning the new life is that it needs to be genuine. In verse 24, put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Not pretend holiness. Not fake holiness. Not trying to impress other people with how pious you are. People can tell the difference. True holiness. Be ye holy, the Bible says three times, for I am holy. Is there true holiness in your heart? Avoid the sinful walk, avoid the sinful lusts, and avoid the sinful past. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, we come before you this morning realizing that the Christian life is not always easy. There are struggles. The old man rears his ugly head. We are driven and enticed by our own lusts. We realize, Lord, that in order to live a life that is shining forth the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a life that is carefully examined continuously. That we cautiously realize we are weak and frail and subject to falling. And we realize, Lord, that in order to allow Jesus Christ to be seen in us, we need to live a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. We need to yield the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. We need to be holy as you are holy. Father, we need your strength, your ability to do that today. It could be that we're speaking to someone today, Lord, that for many years or some time now, they've been saying to others, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I go to church. But the reality is, they have never repented and turned from their sins. They have never allowed Jesus Christ to come into their life. They've never been born again. They would like to say to others that they are a new creature in Christ, but the truth of the matter is they're not. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts today. May we carefully examine our lives. May we very cautiously think about our relationship with you. May we very honestly say, Lord, search my heart and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, save me today. Change me from the inside out. Give me eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.